Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship in First Omagh this morning. A warm welcome to the Watson and Anthony families who join us this morning for Sarah's baptism. We open our service as we come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise that you are not only our God at this time and in this generation, but that you are God of all time and all generations. You are eternal and never changing. You know our yesterdays and our tomorrows, and you promise to walk alongside us each and every day through the power of your Spirit. Help us, we pray, to listen for your voice, to be guided by your word, and to follow in the steps of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we can place our trust in his never-ending mercy to forgive sin, in his endless supply of grace to meet our every need, and in his overwhelming supply of love towards us. Help us, we pray, to show such mercy, grace, and love in our lives and in our attitudes and interactions with others. These prayers we offer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We continue in an attitude of worship as we sing our opening hymn, 230, Praise the God of Our Salvation. To invite Robert and Emma and little Sarah to come forward to the front pew. And then any children who are in the congregation, if you would like to come forward as well so that you can see the baptism as it takes place. Oh, we've got a little baby too. Lovely. Great. You can take a seat. That's great. Lovely to have you all here this morning. And we're delighted to be able to baptise little Sarah Ann. Emma and Robert were standing in front of us not so long ago, last summer, as you got married. And it's just so wonderful how the Lord has blessed you now with this wonderful child. So we're going to baptise Sarah. And as you know, we've done this a number of times in the church before, but we baptise children because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This sacrament of baptism is a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace, which God has made with us in Jesus Christ. By baptism we are received into his church. Christ brings us from death to life, so that having been raised to life in him, we may live as heirs of the kingdom of God. The children of Christian parents, though they may not understand these things, are within God's covenant of grace and belong to the life of the church. Since Sarah is not yet of an age to speak for herself, although she does have a voice and we might hear it later, her parents and the congregation must make promises so that through Christian nurture in the grace of God, she may come to profess her own faith and serve Christ in the church and in the world. So with that understanding, we come now to the baptism of Sarah Ann Watson, and I would ask the congregation to please stand. Now, Sarah Ann Watson is a very, very special Watson baby girl, because I understand it's 101 years now since there was a baby Watson girl born into the family. Prior to that, it was all men, Robert A. So now the girls are going to take over. So it's a real joy to be able to baptize this child this morning. I told you she had a voice. And it's lovely to hear it. It's lovely to hear it. Yes. Yes. Oh, there we go. All right. Sarah Ann Watson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Sarah is now engaged to be the Lord's. I made a mistake and I should have asked you to do the vows. I've jumped at baptism. So, Sarah, we're going to do the vows now, but I'm going to give you back to Mommy. So that she's not quite in my microphone, and I'll move over this way. And again, we'll ask Robert and Emma these vows. So in presenting Sarah for baptism, do you profess your faith in God as your Creator and Father, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and in the Holy Spirit as your Sanctifier and Guide? And then will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home and bring Sarah up in the worship and teaching of the church so that she may come to know Jesus as her Lord and Saviour? And then to the congregation, do you who now in Christ's name receive Sarah Ann into the fellowship of the church, promise with God's help so to order your congregational life and witness that she may grow up in the knowledge and the love of God and be surrounded by Christian example and encouragement? So Sarah, once baptized, always baptized. Yes, indeed. Do you want me to take that? But you are now received, in accordance with Christ's command, into the membership of the Holy, Universal, and apostolic church, and as such you are engaged to be the Lord's. We're now going to sing a lovely blessing over little Sarah as we sing the Aaronic blessing. Please be seated. We're just going to say a little prayer for Sarah, and then we'll sing another song, and then it'll be time for children's church. All right, so let's pray. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you that in your infinite mercy and goodness, you have promised to be not only our God, but also the God and Father of our children. And you have received Sarah by baptism into the life of your church. Guard and guide her all her days. May your love hold her. Your truth guide her. Your joy delight her. May she grow strong in body and mind and come to faith in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Make her home a place of safety and security, and help her parents to teach her your truth and lead her in your ways. We pray for all the families in this congregation. May you be cherished in all our homes. May your presence in our midst transform our lives. And may all our children grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And we continue to think and reflect upon the children that God has blessed us with, as we sing our next hymn, 376, Our Children, Lord, in Faith and Prayer.
Thank you.
like to draw your attention to one notice that's in your church announcement sheet, but there are plenty of notices of events that are taking place over the month of December. So please do keep your eye on the notices. But I'd like particularly to draw your attention to the Reflection on Loss service, which is going to take place on Sunday the 8th of December at 4 o'clock here in the church. This service is open to anyone who feels the loss of someone during the Christmas season particularly, but obviously that loss is felt throughout the year as well. So an opportunity just for quiet reflection. Some people don't really feel like coming out to carol services singing Joy to the World and Ding Dong Merrily on High. And so this is providing an opportunity for those who would just like to come in an afternoon to reflect and to remember in the context of Christian worship. So I do invite you to come along, or if there's anyone that you know that you feel might benefit from that service, please do invite them as well. Individual invitations will be delivered to the homes of members in our congregation. I'd also just like to draw your attention to the fact that from tomorrow I'm on a week's study leave and I'm in Northumbria in England, so the Reverend Robert Heron is covering any urgent pastoral care for me during this incoming week. And I'll be back amongst you again come Monday the 2nd of December. I'd now like to invite one of our elders, Neville Hagan, to come forward and lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before you today, conscious that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Please forgive us for our mistakes and for the wrong things we have thought, said, and done, and help us all to live a life more pleasing to you. Father, we are forever thankful for the sacrifice made by your Son Jesus as he died on the cross to save us all from our sins. We ask that your Spirit would dwell in our hearts and empower us to do your work here on earth. We acknowledge gratefully all that you have helped us with and all you have provided for us. But we are forever mindful that many whom we know and love are going through difficult and trying times. May we bring before you this morning those in our hearts and minds who are most in need. Father, can we ask humbly and by your will to take care of those for whom sickness or disability profoundly affects their lives. We pray that you can soothe their pain, ease their worry, and bring them out of their suffering. We pray also that their nearest and dearest would feel your presence and strength to support and care through healing and recuperation. Father, can we ask humbly and by your will to take care of those who are grieving or brokenhearted? We especially commend to you those who have recently lost someone dear to them, but also ask you to be with those who are finding it extremely difficult to adjust to an empty chair year upon year. Draw close, dear Lord, to all who mourn, ease their pain, and give them courage, strength, and understanding for the time ahead. Father, can we ask humbly and by your will to change the lives of those who are struggling, the poor, the starving, the homeless, the abused, and those with addiction problems or personal issues. Use us, Father, to intervene where and when we can to help someone in desperate need. May your Spirit inspire those in trouble to reach out and seek help from others, and may our political and religious leaders use their power and authority to reinforce or put in place plans to help those who can't help themselves. Father, can we ask humbly and by your will to protect those in danger, the persecuted, the accused, the imprisoned, the displaced, and those affected by conflict and war. We pray that the decision makers and those with influence and power can bring about change through their words and actions. Instill in them wisdom and knowledge and empower them to do the right thing. Be the support of all who give their strength, their skill, and their stamina in a ministry of providing relief and aid. We ask you to open our hearts in generosity and prayer that we may also be partners and support their commitment to bringing relief to the many thousands in need at this time. This morning, may we also ask your blessing, dear Lord, on our own worship and witness in this place. Father, we commend to you the leadership in this church. We pray for Jean, and thank you for her ministry and pastoral care here in First Omagh. Grant her wisdom, knowledge, and patience, supplying her with energy and allowing her rest. Keep her strong in the faith as she encounters new and challenging situations. We also pray for your blessing on our Kirk session, for your care and attention that they may be equipped to serve you faithfully in our congregation and beyond. We pray also for Emma, that she will know your spirit with her as she continues to work faithfully amongst her membership, building relationships and gaining trust, showing your grace and love to others. We think also, dear Lord, of others in our church family who lead and teach, who serve on committee, who hold office in our organizations, who take care of our premises, and give thanks for their commitment and pray for their ongoing service to us and to you. Father, we commend to you the membership of this church. Dear Lord, we give thanks for each and every member, asking your blessing to be on all who belong to First Omagh. We especially remember this morning all those presently going through difficult and trying times, praying that they will know your presence in their lives. Draw near to those who need you most and strengthen and support them in their time of need. We pray that your spirit will move those on the periphery of our membership to enjoy a closer relationship with you. And we pray our numbers will grow through our words and actions in the local community. Father, during this election season and through this time of uncertainty, may all of us continue to look to you for help and direction, especially those in positions of responsibility. Grant to our Queen and her government, to members of Parliament, and all in positions of responsibility, the guidance of your Spirit, so that they may lay aside all private interests and prejudice and govern this country in a manner pleasing to you. Prepare us as we face changes and challenges in the weeks and months ahead, and prepare this nation with your unending peace and perfect love. Be with us, Lord, in the days ahead, as we go out and about, as we help others. May the lips that have sung your praises today always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word this morning listen only to what is good. And may our lives as well as our worship be always pleasing in your sight. In your name we pray, and for the glory of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, Neville. We come once again to bring our sung praises to God as we sing hymn 3, Lord of All Hopefulness.
Thank you.
Emma Fleming is going to come forward now to read our scripture lesson this morning, which is Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. And this can be found on page 114 of the Bibles in the pews.
On that same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 11 kilometres from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. As they talked and discussed, Jesus himself drew near and walked along with them. They saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. Jesus said to them, "What are you talking about to each other as you walk along?" They stood still with sad faces. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening there these last few days?" "What things?" he asked. "The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "This man was a prophet and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. And we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. Besides all that, this is now the third day since it happened. Some of the women of our group surprised us. They went at dawn to the tomb, but could not find his body. They came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some of the group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are, how slow you are to believe everything the prophets said. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory?' And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses and writings of all the prophets. As they came near to the village which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. But they held him back, saying, 'Stay with us, the day is almost over, and it is getting dark.' So he went in to stay with them. He sat down to eat with them, took the bread, and said the blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, 'Wasn't it like a fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' They got up at once and went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples gathered together with the others and saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon.' The two then explained to them what had happened on the road and how they had recognized the Lord when he broke the bread."
Thank you, Emma. Today, particularly at this time of the year, the word that we often hear is the word journey, the journey. This person's on a journey. They've had an amazing journey. It's been a wonderful journey. This journey's been fantastic. Often those words are echoed whenever we're watching something on Saturday night television or maybe even Sunday night television. And it's with people who are competing in different competitions, like "I'm a celebrity, get me out of here." Or Celebrity MasterChef or Junior Bake Off. And they all have a journey. They all start somewhere and they all finish somewhere. Not all of them finish at the final, but no matter when they are evicted from that particular programme, they always say it's been a fantastic journey and an experience, a journey that they will never forget. And one of my favourite, in fact, the only one that I would watch, is the Strictly Journey. And there are now only six contestants left on that journey. I will not embarrass you all by asking you if you can name them, but I'm sure there are many here who would be able to give us the names of the six celebrities, but I will give you at least their first names anyway, because that's all I wrote down. We have Alex and Karim, Chris, Saffron, Kelvin, and Emma. And they've all been on a different journey as they've learnt different dances. And some of them, when they started, were excellent, like who will forget Kelvin's first dance, being the stand-in at the very beginning of the show. But Alex and Chris in particular are two that have really had a spectacular journey. They were really unable to dance Saffron 2, and yet over the coming weeks their journey has been spectacular as they have improved and as they have begun to enjoy the journey that they're on, and it's wonderful to see. I'm not sure if I could predict who the winner is, but any one of those six certainly would be worthy winners in my opinion. And so life itself is all about journeys, isn't it? We're all on a journey. Little Sarah Ann has just started her journey of life. And there are some of us who are on the other end of the spectrum, heading into retirement, maybe heading on into older age. And the difficulties and the trials that life brings. Poor Sarah this morning's getting teeth. So that was sore and it was hard on her wee gums, and so she had to let a few little cries out, and that's understandable for her. And as we journey through life and the situations that we face in, some of it goes really smoothly and we're very happy and rejoicing. And on other occasions we would love to be able to do what Sarah does and just howl out because life is so tough. And so life is tough, the journey of life is tough, but we as Christians gather here this morning to celebrate the fact that we don't walk this journey on our own, but we follow with Jesus and we journey with him in life. Over the last number of months, we have looked through the gospel records of Jesus' journey on earth. And looked at some of the people that he encountered along the way. And these people and these encounters have helped us to understand a little bit about the person of Jesus, a little bit about the situation that he lived in Israel at that time, and also a little bit about the journey of faith, what it means to be someone who's a follower of Jesus. And so we have learnt from the characters that he has encountered over these last number of months as we've looked at each individual one. And alongside that, as well as learning about Jesus and learning about what life was like when Jesus lived here on earth, we have also learnt about our own journey of faith, maybe being challenged by one story or another. So I just want to do a quick overview of the different encounters of people that Jesus met and the lessons that we have learnt. The first one was the young ruler, and that was a sermon that was preached by Jeffrey as an accredited preacher here. And he talked about the one thing that that young ruler lacked. He was weighed down by riches. And so Jesus had the wisdom to tease out from him the one thing that he lacked in life, the one area where he was not willing to trust in Jesus, and that was the wealth that he had accumulated. That was the one thing that that young ruler lacked, and he went away saddened because it would mean giving up a lot to follow Jesus. The challenge for us today is, what one thing do we lack, or what one thing do we find difficult to lay down? What do we hold on to? Is it our wealth? Is it our relationships? Is it our significance, our power, our importance? Is it our family? It can be many things that we put before following Jesus. But we can learn from the rich young ruler that when we don't follow Jesus, we go away saddened and sorrowful in a life, living a life that might appear to have everything, but ultimately, at the end of the day, not to have that deep satisfaction of walking with the Saviour. And then we encountered Jesus with Peter and his disciples at home, in family, in community, and how he willingly reached out and healed Peter's mother-in-law. There we saw the significance that Jesus put on community and family life, the importance of being surrounded with one another, supporting and encouraging and helping one another. When Peter's mother-in-law was healed, she immediately leaped to her feet and went to serve the people that were in her home, doing what she could, her part, in the role of Jesus' community as they journeyed in life together. And again, there's a lesson for us there, that we are part of a community of Jesus' followers. We are part of his band, whether we be someone's mother-in-law, whether we be a little child, whether we be one of the disciples that are sent out on a mission, whether we're the people who sit at Jesus' feet to learn from him. Each one of us are part of this community, and each one of us have a role to play in the journey of Jesus' community in the world today, particularly the community that we have here in First Oma. So we learn from Peter's mother-in-law, we learn from Jesus that he showed the importance of helping those within the community. We learn from the mother-in-law about how we are to serve in whatever capacity we have been gifted. Then the next encounter with Jesus was the lame man by the pool of Bethesda. And there we saw the compassion of Jesus. His willingness to reach out and heal someone who had no connection with him at all. And yet, in compassion, he reached out to heal. And the lesson that we learn from that encounter is that Jesus reaches out in compassion to those who are in need. He doesn't reach out in judgment. He reaches out to provide his help and his welcome, his healing and his wholeness. And as community of followers on this journey with Jesus, we are to do the same, to be people of compassion, showing care, yes, to ourselves, but also to those outside in our community, seeking to bring Christ's healing and hope and wholeness through our interactions with them. And then we spent a Sunday looking at how Jesus taught the disciples the most important lesson of all, the need to come before God in prayer. And we looked at the Lord's Prayer and how significant that was in teaching the disciples who God is and how we are to worship him and to trust in God. And so the disciples learnt from Jesus' example that he needed to be before the Father in prayer. He encouraged his disciples to be before him in prayer. And he encourages us together to be people of prayer. When we're gathered together here and when we're on our own, our life should be a habit and a time of coming before God in prayer to receive from him, because we can't do things in our own strength. The next encounter on the journey was with the Pharisees, with those who opposed Jesus, with those who didn't like the fact that they were not the ones in power or in control. And so they riled up against Jesus and plotted to kill him. But we saw that Jesus' reaction was not to stir up trouble, not to increase the tension, but to walk away and to continue to do the Lord's will until the time when he would be brought before the authorities. And again, with that encounter with the Pharisees, we learnt the importance of how we deal with people who are different from us, from those adversaries who do not agree with us. And we are to learn from Jesus. And this is an area that I find particularly challenging, because I would be seen as more confrontational if something I feel is not going right. And that's okay to do that, to speak up for what's right and truthful in Scripture, but we always need to be careful, that it's not a reaction to our feeling under attack. If that's the case, then we should be willing to set it aside and to walk away. So we see that we will, as Christians in this world today, face people who will be against us. But we learn from Jesus and his journey on how to handle that. I'm hoping to learn a little bit more about that in this coming week as I head for a retreat myself in Northumbria. And the topic for our study week is Jesus in the Gospels and how he handled conflict. So we'll see if I've learned any lessons when I get back. The following week then was the Samaritans and Sychar. That was Harvest Sunday. And we saw that Jesus has grace for everyone, that the fields are white unto harvest, that he doesn't judge anyone as being outside of his welcome and his healing and his wholeness. And so he reaches out to all. And in that journey of life, we are challenged to reach out across those borders that we put up in our own lives, people that are like us, people that live like us, people that talk like us, people who think like us. And yet Jesus was willing to cross thresholds into other communities and other worlds to bring them into his journey of life. And so we as Christians are encouraged to do the same. And then we had the encounter with the Syrophoenician woman, the woman who had faith in Jesus to heal, the woman who was persistent in asking for his healing of her daughter, even when she faced apparent rejection. And Jesus commended her, "I have not seen such faith in all of Israel." And so again, a warning to us not to judge those who are outside of what we see as Christian circles, that God can be at work in the hearts and in the minds of those who live around us, and they can be seeking Christ's life and witness in their own lives. And so we should be people of welcome and embrace, welcoming the stranger in, encouraging them in their faith in Jesus, and helping them to serve him on this journey of life. And then there was a little boy with his packed lunch. And we saw how Jesus can take whatever little thing we have to offer, and he can break bread, and he can multiply it, and he can do wonderful things if we're willing to offer all that we have. And then most recently, the story of the centurion, who recognized the authority of Jesus over his life and over the life of his servant. And a challenge to us to recognize that the only authority that we should bow our knee to is the authority of Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And then from that, then of course we bow in allegiance to those who are in authority over us in the public world and the political world, in the world of work. It's not that we're to be anarchists in any shape or form, but ultimately the authority that we yield to is the authority of Jesus Christ, just as that foreign centurion soldier was willing to do, and to bow the knee to him. So those are the encounters that we have looked at over the last number of weeks. And we're now coming to the end of the journey, to the end of the journey in the Gospels, to this wonderful encounter of the risen Jesus with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You can wonder, as they did, what was it all about? What was the point in all that healing? What was the point in all that compassion and care? What was the point in that willingness not to confront anger with anger? How did it end up for Jesus? He was crucified on the cross and buried. These disciples were puzzled about this journey of life. So often in life, we can be the same as we seek to follow Jesus. We can be puzzled about the turn of events. Why have things happened the way they have happened? What's the purpose in it? What's the plan for it? Why did it have to happen? And in those times of doubt and worry, the Lord Jesus meets with us on our own roads to Emmaus. And he reveals to us his truth and his salvation plan, just as he did with those two disciples on that road to Emmaus. He joined them. They didn't recognize him, but they learnt from him as he opened the scriptures to them, as he explained to them the meaning and the purpose of this journey of his on earth. And it's a wonderful, wonderful salvation plan that Jesus came to this earth to journey through life, to experience life as we experience it, and to do it to point us not to himself, but to our Heavenly Father, and to the salvation, the love, the forgiveness that he has to offer us. A plan that he started way back at the beginning of eternity, if there even is such a thing as the beginning of eternity. But it was God's salvation plan to call people to himself and to offer us an eternal life through faith in Christ. So Jesus opened the scriptures to these disciples and explained it to them. We don't know who they were. Cleopas is only mentioned here in the scripture, in Luke's gospel. His companion's not even named. We don't know who they are at all. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because Jesus encounters the ordinary people in life. They were just ordinary disciples amongst the many who followed Jesus. They weren't the named apostles. They were just ordinary people like you and me. But Jesus met with them, he talked with them, and he revealed his truth to them. And he does the same with us. And as we journey with him, sometimes we won't even know that he's the one who's present with us, leading and guiding us. But there will be those special moments when he breaks bread and our eyes can see that Jesus has been there in the midst of our journeys. So we can learn to trust in him. So how do we do that? How do we journey on? How do we journey with Jesus? Well, it's the same for us. He accompanies us on our journey. He told us that he would send his Holy Spirit to dwell with us by faith as a deposit of all that is to come. And so the Holy Spirit leads and guides and directs us as we seek to live for him in the world today. He helps us, encourages us, equips us, and enables us to live for him in this journey of life. And he accompanies us through those trials and difficulties. And he rejoices with us in these days of celebration. So we can trust in Jesus and in the journey that we have with him. When we trust in him as our Saviour and Lord, we are included into his community of people and are encouraged in our faith as we walk with him day by day. We don't walk on our own or in our own strength, but we journey through the scriptures that God has left to us to help us to understand. We don't have Jesus physically present with us, but we are blessed with many resources. As we disciple together, as we journey together with one another, we are blessed with such a huge range of resources that so many people in centuries gone by would have loved to have had. We have Bibles in different translations. We have commentaries and study aids. We can learn and share as we gather together and worship week by week. The children will be learning in Sunday school in Jigsaw and Blast. The group of people who gather together for midweek Bible study are learning about Elijah and how God used him. All of these are tools that we can use in order to help us to understand what it means to journey with Jesus day by day. So we can journey together with one another, and we can also journey as individuals. And we are, again, blessed by resources that our church provides for us. One of those is Tides. Those of you who have a smartphone and who like to receive emails can sign up for a daily email Monday to Friday. And it gives a little scripture passage and a short reflection and an application to help you as you journey with Jesus day by day. So we are to study God's word together, and we're to study it as individuals, and then to seek to apply it to our lives. There's another resource that I'm going to use this Advent season, and it's called hashtag Advent Challenge. So I couldn't read it on this either. It's hashtag Advent Challenge. And it's done by the Bible Society, and they have this challenge, 24 days of December, leading up to Christmas Day, that we read one chapter of the book of Luke each day. So Luke chapter 1 starts on December the 1st, and again there's an opportunity to read that chapter, to have a little bit of a commentary on it, and then there are a couple of practical challenges. How can we apply this to our daily living? So I'm going to follow that Advent challenge through the Bible Society in the month of December. You may wish to do the same. You might not be able to go online and do hashtag Advent challenge, but you will be able to take the scriptures and read a chapter of the Gospel of Luke each day leading up to the 25th of December. There are 24 chapters in Luke. And then coming in the new year, I'm going to introduce a resource called Proximity. We did it last year. It was a different resource entitled The Seasons of Life. This year's resource is Proximity, Life in God's Story. And there are six sessions. And in these sessions, God's salvation plan is outlined through this proximity resource. So an opportunity for us to look at this salvation plan that Jesus revealed on the road to Emmaus, to see how God had planned from the beginning of time to save his people and to give us salvation. So I'm going to preach on those six different series each week. And if you would like, you can order a book, a proximity book. And the idea would be that you would maybe meet with one or two other people yourselves, not meeting together as a group, but two or three people gathered together and use this resource and look through the discussion questions and encourage one another on your journey of faith. So I trust and I pray as this season draws to a close and as we approach the Advent season that we will go forward in our journey of faith with Jesus, that we will continue to be challenged and encouraged by him to live for him in the world today. So let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. For each step that I might take, be my guide, O Lord of life. For each load that I might bear, be my strength, O Lord of life. For each mountain I might face, be my power, O Lord of life. For each river that might impede, be my safety, O Lord of life. For each place where I might rest, be my peace, O Lord of life. For each sunrise and sunset, be my joy, O Lord of life. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Lord God, we thank you that you're a God of generosity and grace. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of life and for this journey of faith that we are on with you. And so we pray that you would take these, our offerings, and that you would use them and us to advance your kingdom here in this place and beyond into our community and across our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We bring our service to a close as we sing our final hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, hymn 515.
Thank you.
And now may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.